Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
And considering what the Bible teaches about the love of God as presented to us in Romans chapter 5, we have been lingering over the unconditional aspect of God's love. We considered, first of all, the abundant love of God, Romans 5:5. Secondly, the enabling love of God, Romans 5:6. But we spent more time talking about the unconditional love of God in Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. Because I think this touches upon one of the common misrepresentations of God's love, and therefore it's important that we linger long enough so that we can be dislodged of our erroneous ideas and firmly planted upon what the Bible truly teaches about God's love. And so I read again Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I simply repeat what I said on the broadcast yesterday and the day before, namely, that this verse is teaching us that God's love for us was not in consideration of any good thing that he saw in us, either actually or potentially. He wasn't viewing us according to our worth presently, or even what our worth would be after he went to work on us and made us into what we would someday become, but rather what he had in view, his consideration of us at the time of his decision to send his son to die for us, was our utter depravity, our utter worthlessness, our utter sinfulness. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that was our state at the time of God's consideration for us and his decision to give himself to die for us. Because nothing in us motivates God's love. And this is what we need to understand and is often misunderstood and misrepresented. Nothing in us motivates God's love toward us. But because that's true, we can therefore know, we who have confidence in God's love toward us, we can know that it will never change. We are lavished with the love that lies within God himself alone and not within anything in us. And that is why we have an unfailing hope. This is why we can rejoice in tribulations. It is because in God's love we have a love that will not suffer any fluctuations or reversals, because it is utterly without consideration of anything within me. It is totally and completely a love that is generated within God himself. God loves us not because of what we are, actually or potentially, but God loves us because of who he is. And that's what the Bible is teaching us when it tells us God is love. What does that mean? That means his nature is love. What does that mean? That means God loves irregardless of the condition or value or potential of the one that he sets his love upon. It isn't about us. It's about him. It's not because of what we draw out from him. it is because of what he chooses to give, irregardless of our worth to receive. And that kind of unconditional love, the agape love of God, is exactly the kind of love that God calls upon his children to bestow upon others. We are to reflect this kind of God-like unconditional love upon others, which is totally against our nature, which is totally against our Adamic nature, and our Adamic nature even wars against the desires of our redeemed nature to reflect this kind of love of God toward others, because we are determined that our love is going to be conditional. I'll love you if you'll love me. I'll love you if you'll do things that are worthy of my love. I'll love you if you give me what I'm looking for, what I want, what I like, what I approve of. Then I will love you. But if you don't, I will not love you. How many husbands and wives treat one another that way? How many wives try to control and manipulate their husbands by giving or withholding their love as a matter of approval or disapproval? And how many husbands do the same things toward their wives? I will love you. I will give to you. I will be affectionate toward you. I will provide for you based upon your performance. If you please me, if you do what I think you ought to do, then I will demonstrate my love toward you. If you don't, then I'm going to cut it off. And how many parents treat their children that way? And how many Christians treat one another that way? I'll love you if you'll be lovely. I'll love you if I approve of you. And if I don't, then I won't love you. And that's not reflecting the love of God. That's just reflecting a human instinct. That's reflecting selfishness. Jesus talked about that when he said, there's no credit for loving those who love you. Why, even the unbelievers do that. But godly love is bestowed without consideration of the worth, the value, the beauty, the approval of the one that you are loving. God's love was poured out upon us without consideration of anything good within us, thank God. Where would we be if God viewed us in our sinful condition and said, ooh, yuck, I couldn't love people like that. Or God viewed us in our sinful condition and said, you're not worthy of my love. Shape up, act right, behave the way you ought to behave, make yourself worthy of my love, and then maybe I'll love you. But that's not the way God's love worked and works. And that's not the way our love is supposed to work either. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it ought to be apparent in all of this that the love of God is very closely connected with the grace of God. The love of God is unconditional because the grace of God is unconditional. This is just the nature of God and his activities towards men. Now, we really mess things up when we try to turn around and make it conditional. When we try to make the grace of God conditional, what we've done, of course, is destroyed the whole concept of grace. We can say that grace is unmerited favor, but then in the way we treat it, the way we think about it, the way we deal with it, the way we interpret it from the scriptures, we oftentimes turn around and make it just the opposite of what we have said. We make God's grace conditional. We make God's grace merited. We say grace is unmerited favor, but we turn around and say it is conditioned upon the sinner behaving properly. It is conditioned upon the sinner's repentance and faith and the things that he is supposed to do. No, you've got it backwards. God's grace precedes that. God's grace is unmerited. It's not based upon anything in the sinner. It's not based upon the sinner's repentance, present or even foreseen by God. It's not based upon the sinner's faith, presently or even foreseen by God. It is unconditional. It is based upon nothing. It is, by definition, unmerited favor. Not merited favor. Merited favor is not grace. Merited favor is wages. Merited favor is reward. Merited favor is not an unconditional gift. It is something which we have earned, which we have deserved. But grace is, by its very nature, by its very properly understood definition, unmerited. Now, if you're talking about justification, we can say there is a condition. Faith is the condition for justification. We are justified by faith. When we exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are then pronounced just before the judgment bar of God. But God's grace precedes all that. We will never believe in Christ until God in grace has acted upon our soul and done within us and for us that which we could never do for ourselves. And that's what makes God's grace grace. It makes it unmerited. It is unconditional. And you see, God's grace is of that nature because God's love is of that nature. God's grace and God's love are very closely linked together. You really can't separate one from the other. God's love is not conditional. It is unconditional. Because God's grace is not conditional, it is unconditional. And what a mess we make of things when we try to turn it around. What a mess we make of things when we destroy these incredible and amazing concepts. The unconditional love of God. The unmerited grace of God. And when we take these wonderful, precious truths and turn them around, turn them on their head, sometimes even while we are giving lip service to them and saying this is really true and this is what we believe, but then we turn around and apply them and describe them and interpret them in the working of scriptures and in the working of salvation in such a way that we actually end up canceling what we said we believed and what the Bible teaches. And we end up making God's love not unconditional, but conditional. God loves us because of our worth. This proves our great worth and should help our self-esteem. God loves us for the great potential that he saw within us. No, you've just destroyed the biblical picture of a greater love than that. Not conditional, unconditional. And we take the grace of God and we turn it into merit, favor, reward. God gives his grace upon those who prove they're deserving of it by giving God the condition that he required. No. You've just destroyed grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It is without regard for any condition within man. We have to understand these things. And yes, it does require a certain precision in what we might call theology in order to get all these things right. But of course, God's word is worthy of our greatest wrestlings and strivings and studying that we might get it right and not misrepresent what the Bible teaches about this wonderful unconditional love of God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.